So, hoping to speak a bit about the minhag that we have of Birkas HaChodesh, that every Rosh Chodesh we announce when the Rosh Chodesh is, and it's accompanied with various every the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, and it's accompanied with various tefillahs. And surprisingly, perhaps the main part of the Rosh Chodesh is the fact that when we announce when Rosh Chodesh is, all the tefillahs are subsidiary to that. So that they only were added in at a later date. The main part is announcing when is Rosh Chodesh. The main problem with this minhag is that it doesn't have a single mention in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't speak it at all. It almost has no mention in the Ramah either. The Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos writes very very briefly when he's discussing the halachas of saying Aparachamim on Shabbos, that on a Shabbos when we say Mevarchim Achodesh, we don't say Aparachamim. On the Shabbos when we have Birkas Chodesh, and indeed that's our minhag, we don't say Avarachim. So, but he doesn't explain what it is or how it works. And the first mention of it in the Poskim comes in the Levush, who was a very early commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, and the Magen Avraham. They mention it in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, but our minhag is to announce on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, we announce the date of when Rosh Chodesh is. However, as we're going to see a bit later, although it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, it actually comes from the Rishonim. Some of the more obscure Rishonim discuss it quite openly. So there is, well, possibly the rich. First of all, sorry, I should just make a disclaimer, and that is that most of the research for this year I haven't done. Is printed in the Sefer Bishvilei HaChodesh, a Sefer all about all different facets of the halachos of Rosh Chodesh, written by Reb Simcha Bunim Lieberman, who wrote it when he was already living next door. He used to live on Vinci Lane. He was Rav there, and I have a little bit of connection with him, is that he died about a year and a half ago, and just before he was Mifter, he came to London for an operation. He was recuperating in Sage, and I used to go and visit him. But so he had the most amazing piece about Birkas HaChodesh, and he quotes almost all the sources that I'm going to be quoting today. So anyway, so perhaps the first Marimokum where we see any connection to Birkas HaChodesh is slightly controversial, but it comes from a Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. The Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Perek Hey Halacha Gimel, speaks about two Edim giving Edus. They both agree to the fact that a particular story took place. However, they disagree, there's a discrepancy on the date. One of them says it happened on the second of Sivan, and the other one said it took place on the third of Sivan. So, the Gemara says that's not a problem. If they're only one day out, that's okay, because maybe they didn't know what day Rosh Chodesh was. One of them thought the previous Chodesh was a short Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh can either be 29 days or 30 days. One of them thought Rosh Chodesh was 29 days. The last Chodesh was 29 days. Therefore, the current Chodesh started a day earlier. And therefore, he thought that today, this story happened, say, on the third day of Sivan. However, the other fellow, he thought that the previous Chodesh was 30 days long, and therefore the Chodesh started a day late. It only took place on the second of Sivan. So the Gemara says that's okay, the testimony is considered acceptable. However, the Gemara says as follows, V'omer Rav Yassa, one of the Amorim, says, this wouldn't apply to me. Why? Kegodanah, for example, I, Dimin Yomoy, from, I've never, Lo Tzalis Musva, Min Dela Yoda Emas Yarcha. I never davened Musaf when I didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. What does this mean? Most of the Farshim understand it means Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Chodesh day. So they daven Shacharis. I hadn't yet daven Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. I always made sure to guarantee that this today was definitely Rosh Chodesh, and therefore before I daven Musaf, to make sure that it was okay to daven Musaf. Therefore, I would always know when Rosh Chodesh was. Therefore, it was for people of my class to always check. Such a din wouldn't apply, and if there was a discrepancy in dates between the two edim, then the edus would be the testimony would be disqualified. That's how the simple understanding of the Gemara. However, there is a pirush on the Yerushalmi, which is I think it's called Michal Hamayim or Michal Hamayim. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. Michal Hamayim from the Orach Hashulchan, Rabbi Chil Michal Epstein. He's got a very small pirush on the Yerushalmi, and there he writes. He brings a number of proofs that it's not referring to Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, rather Musaf on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. And Rabbi Asa was saying, I never davened Musaf on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh until I knew what day Rosh Chodesh was during that week. Therefore, I was always aware of what the correct date was. So he says, this is the earliest source for Birkas HaChodesh, that because he was always made sure to know what day Rosh Chodesh was, therefore from that has become a minhag to announce in the shuls what day Rosh Chodesh is. That's what he says. However, it's very difficult to understand. The simple understanding is that it means the Musaf on Rosh Chodesh day. But okay, anyway, so moving on to understanding, the way we'll hopefully look at this shift, if time allows, is to first concentrate on the main part of Birkas HaChodesh, which is the announcement of when Rosh Chodesh will be Biyom Poloni, will be on a certain day. And once we've done that, if there's time, we'll have a look at some of the tefillahs that we say before and afterwards, Yirotzen, and Misha Asan Nisim, and Echad Sheyu, where they come from, what's their connection to Rosh Chodesh, and so on. Okay, so the fact that we announce Rosh Chodesh, is there's three basic opinions in the Rishonim as to the reason for this. Almost all the Rishonim, just to quote a few names, that the Machzor Vitri, who was a Talmud of Rashi, the Yireim, another one of the Rishonim, a whole host of Rishonim and Achronim, all say very simply that it's just to make sure people knew when Rosh Chodesh was. They've got to know when, say, Yalav Yavah, they've got to know. And in those days there was a minhag that ladies wouldn't do malach on Rosh Chodesh. That nowadays most ladies don't keep to that, but there was such a minhag, and therefore they needed to know when not to do malach. So they announced when Rosh Chodesh was. Why didn't they do that on the day of Rosh Chodesh itself? Because people are busy with their work, they might not all make it to shul on Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, on Shabbos, everyone's in shul on Shabbos, so they announced it on the Shabbos beforehand. That's the main reason, simply practical, to make sure that everyone knew when Rosh Chodesh was. So that's the first opinion. The second opinion is the opinion of the Rav Yah, and also other Rishonim, and we'll see later this opinion has a very interesting effect on the tefillahs, which we say surrounding it, and that it's a zeichet from the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, that before we had a fixed calendar, nowadays we've got a fixed calendar, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, or even after the Beis HaMikdash, but when Yidden was still living in Eretz Yisrael, the calendar was fixed by Eidos, by witnesses. They would come to the Beis HaMikdash, they would come to the Beis Din, and Beis Din would, then we've seen the new moon, and Beis Din would say, right, and they would make sure that their testimony was a good testimony, and they would say, Mekudesh, the Chodesh is sanctified. So nowadays, we don't have a Beis Din, we can't do this mitzvah, says the Rav Yah. And therefore we do it as a remembrance to this mitzvah. Just like in the times of Beis HaMikdash, there would be an announcement as to when the Rosh Chodesh would be. And we do it again now, even though nowadays has no halachic ramifications, it doesn't make the Chodesh into Rosh Chodesh, because it will anyway be a Rosh Chodesh, because we've got a fixed calendar. Rather, it's just to remember that mitzvah. That's the opinion of the Rav Yah. A third opinion, which is understood to be the opinion of Reb Amram Gon, in the Siddur of Amram Gon, he actually writes the Birkas HaChodesh should take place on Rosh Chodesh itself. And other Siddurim, in the very, very early printing of Siddurim, indeed, there was a Nusach which not Rosh Chodesh Haba, later the time Rosh Chodesh is going to come, rather the Chodesh that is today.
On the day.
They would say the whole tefillah
the night before the actual day.
On the day, yeah. I think on the day or the night before, I'm not sure about that. It says, what's the understanding of this opinion is that it is actually a din in Kiddush HaChodesh. It is an actual sanctification of the Chodesh. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, that was done via Beis Din. And now it's done by everyone announcing together Rosh Chodesh will be on a certain day. Which is, on face value, very difficult to understand, because the Rambam and all the Poskim write that it has to be done with a Beis Din. We're doing it without a Beis Din. And he explains in the Sefer Bishvilei HaChodesh, he says an amazing Chiddush, that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh was not a mitzvah on the Beis Din, rather, it was a mitzvah on, it's a mitzvah given to all of Klal Yisrael, who appoint the Beis Din as their messengers to perform the mitzvah. Therefore, every time there was a Rosh Chodesh, Klal Yisrael had to give their backing to the Beis Din, we allow you to sanctify the Chodesh on our behalf. And therefore, indeed, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that the Beis Din would announce Mekudosh, the Chodesh is sanctified, and everyone who was present would reply, Mekudosh, Mekudosh, it's sanctified, we back up the Beis Din that they have the right to sanctify the Chodesh on our behalf. Therefore, even though nowadays we don't have a Beis Din who can do it, but at least what we have is the fact that everyone can agree to support the Beis Din's decision. And even, we're almost, if I've understood him correctly, we're supporting the decision to have a fixed calendar every Rosh Chodesh. Because that we can still do now. So therefore when we announce Rosh Chodesh and everyone says, yes, we agree that on Tuesday, for example, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, that's all of Klal Yisrael agreeing to the right of Beis Din to create a fixed calendar. If I've understood them correctly, I'm not entirely sure that I've understood that. Okay, so that's the three opinions in the main part of Beis Din Chodesh. The first opinion is that it's simply practical just to remind people when Seiyah Levi Ovo, when Rosh Chodesh will be. The second opinion is it's a Zeicher for the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh that was the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And the third opinion is that it is an actual fulfillment in some way of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay, those are the three opinions. Anyway, moving a little bit further to the Tefillah of Misha Osa Nisim, which it appears was the earliest tefillah to be connected with this. I can't remember whether the Sfaradim say it or not, but it's quoted all the Rishonim who, yeah, the Sfaradim say it as well. So it's very, very early on in the midst of in the midhag of Birkas HaChodesh who ends in this tefillah. So the question is, what we're saying? We're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misha Osa Nisim Laviseinu, He performed miracles for our forefathers. He should also redeem us from Golas and bring us back to Israel. The question is, this has no connection on a face value with Rosh Chodesh. Where does it come in? It's Rosh Chodesh that we're davening specifically for redemption. So, in this Sefer Bishvil HaChodesh, he quotes one of the Rishonim. Because we're performing.
Yeah, because we can't do it properly anymore, so we're reminding ourselves that we want to be able to perform it in the proper way, the mitzvah in the proper way again.
Oh, exactly. We're going to come on to that in a minute. I'm delighted. It's one of the reasons we're going to discuss. Anyway, the first reason he brings him Shema Rishon that I've never heard of, called Rashbash Migur Meiser. Don't know who that is. So he writes that in his Siddur, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim to explain this. And the pasuk says in Tehillim that Ki etach moed ani meisharim eshvot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll check this up and I haven't gone into this pasuk in great detail, but the article translates it that when I seize an appointed time, Ki etach moed ani meisharim eshvot, I will judge justly, I'll judge fairly. When it comes to a moed, to an appointed time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will judge the world. And he goes to great lengths to explain that Rosh Chodesh is called a moed, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch says, when it is a moed, it's a time of judgment. Therefore he says, so Rosh Chodesh is a time of judgment. So he says, who knows, maybe this month HaKadosh Baruch will decide to bring the Geulah. HaKadosh Baruch will decide to bring Moshiach. And therefore, since we announce Rosh Chodesh, we add in an extra tefillah, maybe HaKadosh Baruch will choose to bring Moshiach. And presumably, according to this explanation, this is the reason why we say all the other tefillahs, the Yehiratzim and Yechad Shevet, because it's a time of judgment, and we can daven for a good month. A second opinion is...
But when exactly is the time of judgment?
On Rosh Chodesh itself.
On Rosh Chodesh itself.
Okay. Yeah, so he says...
So why do you do the Yom Kippur Tassan Erev Rosh Chodesh then?
It's a good question. In this Sefer Bishul HaChodesh, she's very unhappy with this whole business of Rosh Chodesh being a day of judgment, and he quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which speaks about different days of judgment other than Rosh Hashanah, where the person is judged every day or every hour or something like that. But he says the Gemara, no one mentions ever that Rosh Chodesh is the special judgment from Rosh Chodesh. He's very, very unclear where he gets this from. So I don't know about that. I haven't gone into it in detail. Anyways, he says another understanding in this Tefillah Mishas Anisim, a fascinating idea quoted in Machzor Defus Zulzbach, Machzor printed in Zulzbach, which I haven't tracked down, but the Shul have a very old Siddur, which I had wanted to check up in connection with something else, which we'll quote later, printed in 1804 in Altona, and there in the Pirush at the bottom he says the same idea. And that is that according to the previous understanding, that the reason why we mention the date of Rosh Chodesh is because of is a zecher for the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. We're remembering when the Sanhedrin used to sanctify the Chodesh. So it's almost in a remembrance to the Sanhedrin themselves at the same time. The Sanhedrin were Bakim and Kol HaTorah Kula. They were experts in the entire Torah, and therefore we want to remember them. How do we remember them? Said that they were experts in the whole Torah written with the 24 letters of the Aleph base, and this Tefillah Mishnah. Sorry, 22 letters. I meant to say 22 letters of the Aleph base, and this Tefillah Mishnah also listen has 22 words, and indeed that's. The Sfarim have a different Muslim, but without Muslim, Misha also Muslim Labi say, Nuvagal is some may have just lecherus, who you gal is son of the Korim, because it's the Dachinim are back and close to it, Haverim call yourself, and then Maramein. And indeed, that's 22 words, so that's why we say this Tfilah as a Zecher from the Sanhedrin. And in fact, there was
the Sanhedrin used to announce when it would be.
The Sanhedrin, their job was to announce when it would be. And because they don't do that anymore, so we remember the greatness of the Sanhedrin, that they knew how to work out when Rosh Chodesh was, because they knew all the Torahs. So we remember them by this Tefillah. And indeed, it's brought that there was a period of time when they wanted to take out the words V'nomar Amen, because V'nomar Amen is said when the Chazan says a Tefillah. And we answer Tefillah, we're saying Amen, that we agree to Tefillah, and we're also davening. But Misha also listen, everyone says. So why do you say V'nomar Amen to his own Tefillah? So he wants to take it out, but then they so to which he answers, no, you can't take it out, it's essential to the number of words, there has to be 22 words. That's why it's put in the first place. Okay, and in a similar vein, the Avodram brings, and it's also brought in the Kafachayim, that the Sfaradim, they don't say this. They do say Misha Asa Nisim. They say a different Nisim with they say the Yehiratzim that we say on Monday and Thursday after Hagba. Yehiratzim Lefleam Vinish Shvashamayim Lechinin is based Chayenu and Lerachem Apleitzin. All those. So he says, why do we say this? Because Because there's one Yehiratzim which is Lekayim Lanu Lekayim Banu Chachami Yisrael. That Hashem should protect the Chachamim. Said that's also a zeicher for the Sanhedrin. So since the times of Beis Hamikdash, the Sanhedrin would announce Rosh Chodesh. So we have a tefillah that Hashem should protect the Talmidei Chachamim, those who are experts in Torah. That's why the Sfaradim do it. Okay, that's and then there's just mention one more explanation, which is like Jonathan wanted to say, which is quoted in the Sefer Baruch Sha'oma, where he takes it a small stage further. He says that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh was given to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim as the first ever mitzvah, and straight away they were redeemed from they were redeemed. So since we perform some kind of semblance of Kiddush HaChodesh, or is it a remembrance or an actual fulfillment of this mitzvah, therefore we daven too, just like Hashem redeemed us for them from Mitzrayim, have in the merit of performing the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, so too Hashem should redeem us now from Golus. so we mentioned this tefillah mishnas and nesim. Okay. Moving.
Yeah, they used to announce it in Egypt. You say they redeemed them in America.
Well, it was just before it was Rish, just before it came the time of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. They received this mitzvah. Moshe received this mitzvah Mitzrayim, and in that merit they were
Hachot
Shazeh Lachem. Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Okay, moving on. Really, to move on in the Shein historical order, should move on to Yechad Shehu, which actually came before the Yehi Rotzen. But it's the best if we look at the Yehi Rotzen first. So this Yehi Rotzen, I haven't managed to put a date on when it came into Tefillah, but it came in extremely late. It's not mentioned by any of the Rishonim or any of the early Achronim until just the pre-war. Just pre-war, they begin to mention it.
I always assume that Tully had come.
but I did look up and said that Shul has a siddur which was donated years ago to the Shul. It's in the Ezras Noshim. They've got a siddur which printed in Altona in 1804. I looked up there and it's not there. So it definitely was included after that. The Makar of this tefillah comes from a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Tesayin, where the Gemara brings various Amoraim who mentioned there, who every day after they finished their davening, they had their own private tefillah. It's fascinating Gemara. Some, and quite a few of these tefillahs have been incorporated into our davening. And the Gemara quotes the tefillah of Rav, and I'll read the text. It's almost identical to the Yiratzon that we say. Rav Bosa Tzulusei Omar. Rav, after he davened, said that Omar Hochi said as follows: Yiratzon Belefanecha Hashem Elokeinu. Shetitein lonu chaim aruchim, chaim shel shalom, chaim shel tova, chaim shel bracha, chaim shel parnasa, chaim shel chilut zahatzomis, chaim sheyesh bahem yiras chet, chaim she'in bahem busha chlima, chaim shel osha v'chovid, chaim she'teivonu avatir v'yoshamayim, chaim she'temali lonu eskol mishalis lebeinu letova. That's it. It's almost identical to what we say for Birkas HaChodesh. And
did he say every day?
Yeah, every day. That was just his private tefillah. So all basically what we've added in is just Shetachadei Shaleinu Esachedah Shazeh. We made it topical by putting in Shetachadei Shaleinu Esachedah Shazeh or Amen Tzela, they put at the end, but that basically it's unchanged. Only one thing that's interesting about the Gemara is that in the Tefillah we say Yiras Shamayim twice. It's a very big question why we say Yiras Shamayim. First of all, we say Chaim Sheyesh Bahem Yiras Shamayim V'Yiras Chet, and then the second time we say Chaim Shel Ahavas Torah. But all the Mefarshim on the Siddur are busy trying to work out what are these two kinds of Yiras Shamayim. But in the Gemara and Brachos it doesn't say it twice. So it's quite possible. It just says Chaim Shel Yiras Shamayim, Shel Yiras Chet. Doesn't mention Yiras Shamayim at all. Then the second time, Chaim Shetevonu Avas Torah Yiras Shamayim. A lot of the Mefarshim say, well, it would appear since this Tefillah comes straight from the Gemara Brachos, but actually it's actually a mistake. We shouldn't be saying Yiras Shamayim twice. That's just one interesting point. Okay, there
can
is.
Can I give something here from Chazon Heschel? He said that the reason is because in between say Chayim Shalosha V'Chavod, that in between these the repetition, there's this phrase Chayim Shel Osher V'Chavod. So it's very important that when we're davening for Chayim Shel Osher V'Chavod, that we don't then, because we don't become wealthy and have kavod, we don't forget we still got to have Yirat Shemayim and Yirat Chet.
Well, beautiful idea. Thank you so much.
That's from Chazon Heschel. But he got it from somewhere else, but he's told me that.
Wow, thank you so much. Beautiful idea. Okay, So there is one thing which I didn't manage to find in any of the Sidurim printed nowadays, but I did manage to find a Sidur at home printed in 1905 in New York, a linear prayer book, where there in small letters he brings this Nusach. It's the only place that I managed to find it. And that is that at the end of it, instead of finishing off Chaim Sheimale Hashem Mishalis Debeinu Letova Amen Tzela, they said Chaim Shemal Hashem Mishalis Libeinu Letova V'Zechus Tefillas Rav in the Amen Tzela, in the merits of Rav's Tefillah, because as we said, this comes from Rav in the Gemara, and therefore And therefore, we mentioned that this tefillah should be accepted in the merits of the fact that it was Rav who composed it. A slightly different version of this, that says, "Bizvachus tefillas Rabim," Rabim, in the merits of a public tefillah. So it's different, because we're davening this in public, the merits of everyone together should answer this tefillah. And the Sefer Baruch Sha'oma is very unhappy with both of these versions. He says, we daven lots of tefillahs in public, and we never mention Bizchus tefillas Rabim. So why does we put it in? So he says, definitely shouldn't say that version of Bizchus tefillas Rabim. What about the version of Bizchus tefillas Rav? So he says, if you have a look there in the Gemara, and there's also another Gemara in Yuma, which I haven't looked up, quotes a number of tefillahs of the Amoraim, which quite a few of them have been incorporated into the daily tefillah. Some of them, not just on Yom Kippur as well. We quote a few of them, and we never say in the Zechus of the Amora or Tamna who composed this particular tefillah. So why over here do we put it in? So he says it's a mistake, and originally in the handwritten Sidurim of long ago, it originally someone had written on the side of his tefillah a note which said Brochus Tefillas Rav. The makor of this tefillah, the source of this tefillah, is Brochus, the Gemara Brochus Tefillas Rav. But if you have a look there, you'll find Rav's tefillah, and this is what we say here. But when it was copied over, instead of writing a resh in the word Brochus, he changed it to a zayin by mistake, and it became Bizachus Tefillas Rav. And eventually it got incorporated into the tefillah. He said it's a mistake, don't say it at all. And indeed, it seems that it's been taken out of the nusach nowadays. However, I saw it, there's a fascinating sefer called, which I picked up in Sifrei Chaim, in Chaim's books, for £2 in a sale there. I never heard of it before, but it is. He traces there the source of every tefillah. It's called the Takonos HaTefillos, or Siddur Rashban. There's two sporim. One of them is Takonos HaTefillos, the other one is Siddur Rashban, the same person. He lived in Hungary about 150 years ago. And there he says, I think that the correct nusach should be Bizchus Tefillas Rabim. And he explains as follows, that really on Shabbos, we shouldn't be saying Bakoshus. We don't daven for Parnosa, we don't daven. That's why on Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu, except in the Ilah, because we don't normally daven for private, personal tefillas on Shabbos. So how here can we daven for Chaim Shal Parnosa? And he quotes even opinions that say that it's a mistake, you shouldn't say it, because we shouldn't daven for these things on Shabbos. Then he says, no, it's only a problem when I'm davening personally for myself. But if I'm davening for a rabbin, I want that everyone should have a Chaim Shal Parnasa, and that's allowed on Shabbos. I don't know where he finds this from. To daven for public, that's okay. So therefore we finish off, this is a Chus Tefillas Rabbim. Really we shouldn't be davening this on Shabbos, but because we're davening for the public, this Chus Tefillas Rabbim, the merits of a public tefillah, therefore you should answer us. That's why it says this Chus Tefillas Rabbim, he's in favour of it. But it seems that nowadays no one says it. Just one more connection with this tefillah and Rosh Chodesh, and that's brought by Reb Tzvi Hirshfeldbe. He quotes someone saying that it says Chaim in this tefillah 11 times, corresponding to the 11 times a year when we say Birkat HaChodesh. Before Tishri we don't say Birkat HaChodesh. So all the other months, it's 11 months in a year, we say Birkat HaChodesh, and there's one particular Chaim corresponding to each one of those months. He goes to great lengths to explain which Chaim corresponds to which month, which I haven't gone into, but that's a special connection with this tefillah and Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Moving on just to the last tefillah of Yichadashehu, which we say at the end. This tefillah it's brought in the Sefer Takanas HaTefillos, which I mentioned earlier, that it was the one who wrote this tefillah was Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. One of the Rishonim lived about 900 years ago. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he wrote this tefillah. In actual fact, there's two different versions of this tefillah, the Minach Chutz La'aretz and the Minach Eretz Yisrael. We followed Minach Chutz La'aretz, which, as it's printed in the Arch of Gold, Echad Sheva Kodesh Baruch Hu Aleinu V'al Kol Amo B'Eretz Yisrael, and it gets very short, L'chaim U'L'Shalom L'Sosin U'L'Simcha L'Yeshua U'L'Nechama. However, in the Tfilas Kalpeh, he brings a longer nusach, which is the Minhag Eretz Yisrael. And that's Zichad Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleinu, V'al Kol Amu Beis Yisrael, L'Tovo V'Livracha, L'Sosad V'Simcha, L'Yishua V'Nechama, L'Farnasa L'Chalkola, L'Chaim V'Lashonim, L'Shmuah Tovos, L'Yisurah Tovos. And in the winter, he puts in Vligashomim Be'itom, that the rain should fall the right time, L'Yivur Shalema, V'Ligur L'Krova, and much longer Nusach. That's just the Minag in Eretz Yisrael. But, okay, just mention one other thing about this tefillah, a fascinating thing, in that we say just about Al-Kala Mobes Yisrael, but probably the most recent addition to the Nusach of tefillah, which has really taken on amazingly, was done by the Tzamzin Rebbe, I think in the 1950s or 60s, where he set up yeshivas in America, and he was instrumental in setting up a yeshiva in Mexico. He'd never gone to visit this yeshiva, but he'd sent Talmidim there to set up a yeshiva in Mexico, which at the time was a wasteland, as it's how it's described in the biography, a spiritual wasteland, and he worked very hard to set up a yeshiva there. And then he went...
Sorry, is it Sons or Klausenberg?
Same Chassidus. Sons, Klausenberg, same. So he, and then after a couple of years, he went to visit this yeshiva, and it was a very, very emotional thing for him to visit the yeshiva that he'd set up, and he saw how things were beginning to turn around, and they were beginning to become, people were beginning to come through. And then when he returned to, I don't know where he lived in America, when he returned there, he was so inspired by the fact that there were people living a Torah life in Mexico, he added in, wherever they are. So it's as a reminder that they're using in all far-flung places that are keeping Torah and Mitzvah. And amazingly, this is called Tom, and it's printed here in the Siddi, Chadshei HaKadosh Baruch Aleinu, Al Kolam HaBeis Yisrael, B'chol Makim Sheheim, L'Tema of Levracha. And that's indeed the minhag in Eretz Yisrael to recite this. Thank you.